hired us for this experience. We think it's the end. No. It's another beginning. Another beginning. Be loved while you've been here, and you've judged yourself, and you've forgotten that you were loved. And you became alone. But you will always be here. You are blessed. Forgiven. You are an angel.
Hello, everybody. It's Ananda of Love, and I want to welcome you to the Love Channel. And that song really, really hit my inner self that I feel a little bit emotional right now. I feel really, really happy to be here right now, to be in a position to tell my world how loved they are and tell them that they are love itself, and to open up the channel in this moment to the experience of being loved and letting love be who we are and sharing it and loving as a natural state of being. Tonight we have a special guest I'm very, very excited about. It's David Fishman, and everybody in the Course in Miracles community knows him as Dove, and he is an angel. He's always been an angel in my life. He's a perfect representative of opening the channel to love. He founded the one, I think it's called the One Heart Foundation, but he'll correct me shortly, I'm sure. And he's been doing ACM Gather, and it's an open forum radio station for people who just want to express the love that they are. And I'm not going to wait too much longer. I'm going to have Dove introduce himself. And again, I bow deeply to this angel in my life, and I'm so grateful to have you with me tonight, David. Thank you for being here for me, and
please
introduce yourself to our little group of lovers.
Hi, Ananda. I'm so happy to be here, and I bow to you. Thank you so much for having me on your program, truly. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I did. I did say I bow to you, Ananda of Love. Thank you so much for having me on your program. I'm truly grateful for your inviting me, truly.
Well, I thank you. Can you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yeah, I am David Fishman, also known as Dove. Dove is just short for David. It's Hebrew for David. And, we did start ACM Gather almost 10 years ago, and it has been going really well. It just keeps expanding. And the idea really came many, many years ago when I realized that everyone should participate equally and be a equal member of, rather than listen to just one person, for everyone to participate and become responsible for their own healing.
Well,
Are you able to hear me? Hello?
Yes. Sorry, hold on one sec. Don't go. I can hear you fine, David. I was just muting myself out to give you more clear points. What about, I noticed that you have a couple of books I never saw before, and I'm so excited to know that you do have books that are available.
You mean the book, The Open Mind, Loving Yourself? Are you thinking about that? Yeah, actually, that's a book you don't really read like cover to cover. It's a book you just ask for guidance and then just close your eyes and open the book wherever it opens to, and that would be guidance for you. It really came from teachings I made over a couple of years, which one of our members early many years ago had copied and pasted and turned it into a book. And it's really my teachings from A Course in Miracles.
What's going on with the community?
Excuse me?
There's a lot of activity going on in the group right now about new foundation, but I know the Way Foundation.
We mean like... Regina Duane Akers, of course, created a new not-for-profit called Awakening Together, which represents the truth that we are all equal. We all share the same common interests, the same shared goals and purpose. And it doesn't really matter, you know, what path you take. It doesn't matter if you do A Course in Miracles or Way of Mastery or no matter what path. It could be Joel Goldsmith, Ramana Maharshi. It doesn't matter, but we all bring equal wisdom. So it's not that somebody basically is ahead of somebody else because they started the course 20 years ago and you just started. No, we all have equal wisdom. So that is pretty much where ACM Gather was always going anyway.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yes, I hear you clearly now.
All righty, let me just do one other thing here. Let me just get this into a mute position, and maybe it'll work. Okay, now you can hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you perfectly now.
Okay, so anyway, the show that I'm doing, the Love Channel, for me is an opportunity for me to share the love. And what I usually like to do is invite people to call in and share the love and or any questions they might have. And I just want to give that number out front. And it's 646-595-3440. We also have a chat option that people can just join in and share the love. And for me, coming into this channel is really for me to align me back into the state of the sacred union, which is really important to me, and that's to be connected to the source of all love, you know. And I've been having guests on, and every guest has been absolutely divinely, clearly a reflection of what I am and what I feel in the moment. So, David, why do you think we came to have a conversation today, you and I, together? What do you think it's all about?
Well, to recognize that we've probably given meaning to the meaningless. And as we begin to withdraw the meanings, we can start laughing at it more. That seems to be my tagline. I've used that tagline for many years. Laughter now saves lifetimes later, and that's really my experience. If you can't laugh at something, it's just that we haven't really seen it clearly, because once you see it clearly, you will definitely laugh.
And, of course, that's A Course in Miracles, to see a change perception, to see that it really is all just a mindset, something that we've brought into being to give life to, and hallelujah, praise the Lord. But the reality is it is all about love. And love, for me, has become not a state of anything but just being, you know, being who I am, allowing myself to be in the moment, you know. And so that's really what I come into this reality to do, is just to keep talking out loud so that I hear myself speak out loud, and I learn and I teach and I dance and I sing. But the reality is that there's many in the perceptual world, in my reality, that are not, you know, awakened yet to this beautiful aspect of reality that is really all there is, you know. So what do we do with aspects of ourselves? How do we model for them the state of pureness of being in the present moment in love? How do you think we do that?
Well, to be peaceful, to remain centered and peaceful, whenever I am not peaceful, I'm obviously reacting to something which I've given meaning to, and I get thrown off center. And you do have to train your mind, obviously, as he says in the Course in Miracles, this is a mind training course. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. So for those people who have begun the training process, it just becomes easier not to get fooled or tricked or trapped into the many, many different forms that the ego would love to present to us that we take seriously. As we begin to withdraw the meanings that we give to these things, we actually start laughing a lot. Hello?
Yeah.
We actually start laughing a lot more. I just had an experience recently where I actually started looking at the things that I used to believe to be true, and I just went into really an orgasm of gentle laughter. And that gentle laughter he talks about in Lesson 187, Paragraph 6, he says no matter what bizarre form the world throws at you, all the pain, suffering, grief, starvation, poverty, scarcity, and death, none of it has anything to do with reality. It's just the idea of sacrifice, which remains the one idea behind them all. And when you look at them, you will laugh because you realize that you are doing this to yourself because you think that you can actually judge one person over another or choose one over the other. And, of course, that's impossible.
It's really wonderful for me because I've come to a real clear understanding now, you know, doing the Course in Miracles for 20 years in time and really thinking I had it. I mean, I do the Course in Miracles forum where I do a daily lesson and the Spirit speaks to my heart. But I really am seeing miracles abound now because I'm seeing what I've been living or thought I was living in an actualized state. I am actually seeing how I make the world be what I feel or think or want it to be, you know?
That's true.
And it's so divine. And it's so, I mean, for me, the Course in Miracles, again, this is my path. This is my joy. This is it's my lover. I mean, I cannot tell you, I can, because you are me, but how it just realigns me in every moment with the higher aspect, which is not good or bad. It's just the opening, the grand opening of love realized. And, you know, it's just, I was watching a YouTube last night of one of these guys that I usually watch, and I'm laughing because all I'm seeing is the surreal, you know, aspect of me outpictured, telling me through this guru's costume what I already know, you know. And I was like laughing, and that's the old Ananda, you know, the person that had the awakening years ago, who was the giggle personification of, you know, of joy and you know, inner knowing. And I got it last night. It was like, oh my God! And for me, there's nothing more delicious, you know, to come into that remembrance of the higher, which again, not good or bad. It's just like my entire mind expands and my heart opens so wide, and there can be nothing for me that's more fulfilling.
Yes, it's having true sight, true perception for the first time, and of course without it you kind of grope around and wonder why this is happening to you and why it's happening to other people, and of course that is always the ego. Saying, well, why is that happening? Why is this happening? Always thinking that it's real. As you begin to let go of my birthday lesson, which is coming up very shortly, my birthday is May 12th, so the lesson for that day is Lesson 132. I loose the world from all that I thought it was. And that's the one that actually says the thoughts that you have in your mind give meaning to the world. So it is up to us to become responsible to let go of those thoughts that really are meaningless.
And again, that changes reality. Just doing that changes reality.
Yeah.
I mean, I see the giver of all. I see God or the mind of infinite potential as the giver of all. And I've learned really how to be innocent and how to just be the clear channel and let it give me what it wants me to experience, what it wants. It has no wants, but it's just a free expression that comes through me. And so I really know the concept of the clean wineskins. I have to be completely present in clear love, receptivity, and when I watch it come through, I don't possess it anymore. I don't claim ownership anymore. I personalize it maybe for a nanosecond, but then I see it come forth and I let it go. Because as soon as I claim possession of that which is wishes to be made known or is just simply being made known through me, and I try to claim ownership, that's when I become, you know, unconscious. That's when I become back in the mind's vision rather than the pure state of vision, which is another thing that's absolutely divine. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'm about 2.5 months into no glasses because I was told to let them go. You know, I reached for them one morning and I saw that I was reaching for an idol, and I just heard let them go. And you have to see with true vision, you know. And I'm, again, here we go. I mean, 20 years I've been reading that. What's true vision? I do have true. No, you don't have true vision, because if you had true vision, you would need nothing of this world. There's nothing here anyway. It's an illusion. It's all a mirage. And I tell you, David, I am relearning. I am re-educating my eyes through the eyes of the higher knowing to put on me the truth of true state of knowledge. I mean, it has nothing to do with the visual. And it has nothing to do with what I'm seeing, you know, in this material world. But yet, I see clearly. You know, it's just divine.
Yes.
It's divine.
Yes. And as you give up the belief in separation, which is pretty much what the Course in Miracles is, you do have a unified mind which recognizes that everything is happening perfectly, that nothing is really out of place, that God's only God's plan for salvation works, and this is God's plan for salvation. It isn't that there's another plan. We are all in it. This is it. It's evolving. It's unfolding perfectly and naturally.
I mean, don't you love that? Because to me, it feels like a great awakening. At least in my perceptual reality, I am seeing aspects of me, I mean, in such divine celebration, you know, for the most part. And I'm noticing that it's just aspects of me outpictured, you know, mirroring back for me what I've come to realize. Because for me, it is inside out. You know, if I believe God is, I am, and there is my world. And so with that in mind, the I am stays neutral. The neutrality that Course in Miracles talks about is really profoundly awesome, because when you stay in that neutral state, you are given the keys to the kingdom. You are given heaven while here on earth. I mean, there really is a happy dream while in this illusion where most aspects believe they have to suffer. I mean, the ones that are still lost, and again, they're still me. It doesn't matter. There's aspects of me that are sound asleep to herself, you know?
Yes.
But do you see that? Do you see a great awakening in your world, perceptually?
Yes, I do. I also feel exactly as Regina feels, that we are all awakening together. I think when you're in a community, I think it's easier to see that we are all awakening together. When you're not in the community, it may be a little bit more difficult. I can't speak about it because, as you know, we are a community that started about 10 years ago, and I remember what teachings were back then. They were kind of basic kind of things from the book. These days, people are going so deep and so natural. Everything is being given to us, and that's probably what the biggest difference is going from thinking that it's something, and I'm talking about myself, something that you learn from a book until you finally realize that he's not telling you to learn anything from a book. In fact, he's saying the exact opposite. He's saying, hold on to nothing. Forget this world. Forget this course. He's really saying you already have everything. You already have everything, and your willingness to share it, your willingness to give it, you begin to realize that every word, every thought is given to you. You are not the doer. You're not the doingness. It's just all being done through us. And, you know, you get such a clear example of that in Lesson 155, let me step back and let love lead the way. Let him lead the way.
You know, for me, I've been getting all along Bible verse every time I get a quote from Course in Miracles, and I've been sharing that, you know, over the years on my different sites. But, you know, I really have renamed the God, you know, the God principle to the giver of all, because I really believe I am the child of the Most High. I am the recipient of that which will make itself known through me. And if I resist it, that's okay. It doesn't matter. It just causes me, you know, some kind of dis-ease. And that's okay, too, because I can choose again. And the choose again really isn't. All of a sudden, these quotes from A Course in Miracles are not any longer, you know, just quotes. I mean, for me, it's a breath. It's a way of life. And the choosing again is to be born again in every moment, which is another song I usually open the show with, is, you know, with you I am born again. You remind me in every moment how far or how close I am to my true state of love, you know. And everything in my world is speaking to me 24/7. That's why I'm an isolated aspect of the oneness. And not that I'm, you know, separate, because I know I'm one. But I choose to stay in this world of separation where there's other bodies that say, you did that, you know, you did this, hey, what about you? You know, it's not me, it's you. And for me, it's so divine, because when I walk into a room, you know, the head shifts, because it's almost like this chilling state of upset that brings smiles to everybody's face, you know? It's like, oh, she's here, you know? And it's just me telling me how closely related I am to the idea of the wholeness of being one with God. And so it's beautiful. But I get turned on by this idea of community, especially the living communities that a lot of the Course in Miracles and, you know, spiritual people are doing now. They're gathering in these large living quarters. And that's a turn on to some extent to me, too, because, you know, it's like, you know, playing Monopoly all night and giggling, you know. It's nothing to do with reality, you know. But for me, you know, living with a man, my father, 84 years old, is saying, you know, I don't want to be here, and Judge Judy's my friend, you know. It's really a freaky experience, but for me to sustain the love no matter what it looks like is so divine.
Is. Yeah, I'm glad what you said. They aren't just words. At first, when you go through the course, it seems like they're just words, but what we're doing, if we're really committed, is that we are integrating the experience of the words into our being. Actually, the being already contains these ideas. So then later, when you might use a quote or a lesson like, I'm never upset for the reason I think, or basically I can choose peace instead of this, that's actually an experience that you're actually having. And I know that people who hear it, they may say, those are just words. And they aren't just words. Once you have removed the, you know, the ideas of the concept of these words, when you actually say it, you actually experience it. You experience what you're actually saying.
And really, the only state of being is experience for me. I mean, there is nothing to do. And Course in Miracles keeps getting back to that now. You know, where do I need to go? Nowhere. Who do I need to meet? No one. You know, and teach me, because I don't have a clue what this is for. And I mean that. In every moment when I go into the divine state of innocence and I know that I am the child or the receptor of this satellite that wants to make some noise through me, and I just sit still, and all of a sudden, everything blossoms around me. You know, I get these little, remember we talked about it, I guess maybe a year ago or so, about maybe doing a comedy routine together, because I really get these silly skits, and one of them is with the cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm talking to somebody on the cell phone or texting for an hour, and then all of a sudden I'll say, this phone is not real, and I get like really freaked out because I know I'm just talking to myself.
I start getting
whacked out. I'm like, I don't want to even hold this phone. It's not real. I am putting this phone in between me and my lover. You know, who is it, me anyway? You know, we really think we need to substantiate the outer to make the inner real.
That is so true. Yeah.
Is that so true? So,
right.
You know?
And we're always really speaking to ourselves. That is always the truth. I mean, when you actually say that to someone, they actually think, well, you know, this person's, you know, crazy. But it's so true. I mean, as you remember, prior when we were kids and someone was walking down the street talking to themselves, people say, well, this guy is really nuts. And now everybody's walking down the street talking to themselves. Right, and no matter, even if you're addressing an audience of hundreds or thousands, you're still speaking to yourself.
I used to do the Course in Miracles class, you know, a lot around town and wherever I went, and I would be sitting there, and then all of a sudden, one of the people in the class would get it, they get the aha, the miracle, and then all of a sudden, they would like be holding a knife in their hand, realizing that all the pain in the attack was on themselves. Actually pointing the knife at themselves, laughing like an idiot. But that's the truth. All attack is upon the self. I point to you, but it's really me that I want to kill, you know? It's like so crazy. But it's funny. Like you said, you get to a point where you say, oh, my God, this is really a comedy skit. Every moment. You know, look at that person performing that act of bravery. They're walking with canes. What a silly focal point I'm having show up in front of me right now to pretend that person's suffering. Oh, my God, you know? And everybody around me, oh, you have no heart. How could you not see that person's in such pain? That person is me pretending that it's not me and that it's not even me at all. It's God. You know, and who am I to judge what God wants to play with, what toys he wants to play with? And that's basically what it is. He gives me the toys. Come on, let's play. Go play, my child. And I want to possess them. I want to take them to bed with me. Mm-hmm. And he says, they don't belong, and put them back in the toy box. They don't belong to you. They only use them, and you got to share them, you know. And when I really get that, really deeply get that, I mean, the tears of joy that come through me, you know, I cry probably more than any human being that I've ever met, because it's sorrow, it's joy. You know, the comedy and drama, man, is constantly going through me, because I really feel like I get it. It's just me talking to me. And I do recordings a lot on my phone, because I get these open channels. It's an open channel, so it just comes through. And I said, I've got to talk out loud. So I talk out loud, I record it, and then I feel like I've like you said, I've been in front of thousands of people, shared the higher knowing, but maybe later on I'll listen to it and go, oh, my God, that was wonderful. Sometimes I even applaud, you know?
Yeah.
But this is the gift that we have been given, not some of us. The Course says, you know, we're all doing this. It's, you know, you may think you're going a different route, but we're all going there, you know? And for me, I really feel that all I have to give is what I receive, and that's love. Because the giver of all has nothing else to give me but the pureness of being the receiver of love.
Mm-hmm.
And to really accept that is to really get it, to understand that we need do nothing but simply allow that to be what we want it, what it wants to be. And again, that want is a silly notion because there is no want. It's just experience made known.
Right.
So what about you, Zeph?
Well, as you were sharing, I'm listening, and, you know, there's a couple lines that came up as you were sharing. One is from the Justice of Heaven, chapter 25, section 9. He says, you know, if you are reluctant to give, you must have been reluctant to accept, and you won't even know the love that you are, because somewhere you're still listening to, well, you know, what can I give? I don't have anything to give, or... You know, I'm only going to give to someone that I really, you know, hold as special, so I'm going to hold back. And, of course, whenever we hold back, we are depriving ourselves. There is this other lesson, 344, which I think is one of the most amazing lessons because it sums up the entire course. It says, what I give to myself. And then it says, this is the law of love, the law of God, the law of mind, and it has no exceptions. So you're always giving to yourself. But if you think that you can choose one over the other, which is sacrifice, you will actually feel left out, deprived, abandoned, less than, and all those other thoughts that I don't have what other people have, only because you weren't willing to wholly give all to all. That's why the first of the three lessons of the Holy Spirit, he says, this one lesson, which is the first of the three lessons, you know, will reverse all the laws of this world. If you have all, give all to all. Because we don't, we have no idea really what we're doing, but we have to, and I'll use the word blindly, but actually the word blindly in this world means that in truth we have perfect vision. Because when I'm giving all to all, that is the truth. You can only give all to all. You can't hold back. You cannot just, you know, select out and say, well, I'm going to give to this group over here because everything you say after the word because, of course, is a lie.
Right, but you don't want to know something. For me, I don't even go to the possession of giving or the ownership of giving or giving something. I give automatically, whether I want to or not, because everything I am, I see. So I am emanating a state of giving 24/7. And I don't substantiate that unless there is a mirror image, unless there is a perceptual other. So what I'm seeing is what I am receiving and giving. So for me, that was a really big section that I taught for many years because I got it. I am the only receiver. And my world is just showing me mirror images of what I'm allowing myself to receive. The giver and the receiver are within.
Yes, giver and receiver are the same. That's true.
So the emanation of love, of the extension of love, the Course in Miracles says, begets itself. You know, if we receive the bitterness and we receive the judgment and we receive the special love, good love, bad love, the winners, the losers, what happens is we see a world that is in dispeace. You know, and so for me, I know I am it. You know, as I am is my experience, and I share that all the time because when it came to me that there are no others, which I talk about all the time to teach me, to remind me, that in truth everyone is one with God, and all we're seeing really is fragments and figments of God's imagination, of the infinite field of potential, realized or not. But for me, I lived such an awesome life where I gave myself the opportunity to receive what wanted to be given to me in the materialization of things. I mean, I actually had everything I wanted. And I didn't get it until I had that so-called moment of awakening or miracle in 1994 where I actually realized that I was not getting it out there. I was receiving it in here, and it changed everything. I wanted to give every possession away, which I did for a couple of years, the path of renunciation. I didn't know what that meant, but I said, I got to get it. There's nothing out there. But the truth of the matter is when we do become innocent and in a state of neutrality, we have not good, not bad, that's not right, that's not wrong, and we just sit still and allow us to give us the key to the kingdom, It's just an absolutely beautiful magic carpet ride. You cannot not experience anything but the joy of being one with all. All you want to do is give everybody money. You want to give everybody food. You want to hug and kiss everyone, knowing that that's just who you are. That's nothing to do with them. There's no them. Again, that's just my experience, and I feel so grateful because I know there's nothing to reach out for anymore. I know there's nothing to bring in, as so many people say, you know, well, that's an attractor. You're going to bring it in. No, you're not bringing it. You're allowing it through. You're not even bringing it. I'm not creator, you know. We make our world. Of Course in Miracles says, you know, we are the makers. The co-creation is the state of being in the free will, I think, is God says, are you free to receive this, you know? Because I want to give you everything. Are you free? And it may not feel good, but just experience it for a nanosecond. And when I go there to that state of experience now, I don't want to possess it. Like I said, I want to just watch it go by like the parade. I want to watch the parade and giggle and laugh. Just recently in Disney with my boy and his wife and my grandson. And the parade is with Cinderella and the princes and the princesses. I mean, the whole thing was made because all there were little princesses with their little crowns and their fairy wands, and I was like, oh my God, I'm all over the place. Anyway, the actual parade is a parade of, you know, the king and the queen, the prince and the princess. And I'm saying to somebody yesterday that you know, when I was watching this parade, I didn't talk to Cinderella. I didn't stop her. I didn't say, could you come down off that float? I need to talk to you. I got some things to say. I just watched that parade, and I didn't enjoy it any less than I would have if I would have had one-on-one. I just let it be itself. And that's basically the world, when we can just let it be itself. And whether that be a lover, an employer, a child, it doesn't matter. It's just an experience.
Yes, let all things be exactly as it is. Yes, to accept it. You know, acceptance really is forgiveness. If I can't accept it, that's pretty much my saying that the love of God is not good enough. Exactly what is the love of God right here, right now, and to accept it. I love that line in The Longest Lesson in the Course, 135. Paragraph 18, what could you not accept if you but knew that everything that seems to happen, past, present, and to come, is gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? So acceptance is actually choosing peace. Well, if I can't accept, I'm into resistance, I'm into self-doubt, which is pretty much where Jesus kind of finds us when we first pick up the course, and he knows that. If you look at the teacher's manual, it says the only purpose for teaching is to diminish.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you now. He says the only purpose for teaching is to diminish your own self-doubt. So he knows that we start off the course, you know, in resistance and doubt. And he says, listen, this is a call for teachers. God sends his teachers into the world. If you do lesson 154, he tells you, I am among the ministers of God. And if you read it in paragraph 2, it says, you've already given your consent. You might say, I don't remember giving my consent. And it says, yeah, the Holy Spirit has a function for you with your consent. So he gives you everything. It's just our willingness to be responsible and say, yes, I am here. Father, I am here. I'm going about doing your business.
I tell you, I use Jesus all the time because to me, you know, whether he was real, whether he wasn't, whether he's God, it doesn't matter. You know, what would he do? And he would not sit and say, you know, let's talk about your disease. He'd say, pick up your situation, follow me. You're blind, put some mud in your face. It doesn't matter. I'm taking you where you want to go. You know, and then he finally said, you know what? You're not believing that it's not my body. You're not believing that it's not Jesus. That I'm it, I'm not it, so I'm going to hang my body up. I'm taking the clothes off, I'm going to put it on the cross, and you're going to see that it's not the body. It's the spirit I am. Would you please follow the spirit? And this comes to me in like a comedy routine, because I really get that he said, I am not paying mind to what is not of God. And that's the true denial in course. True denial is, I can only see God.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot see anything but love. And if I'm seeing that, I am mistaken. I am mistaking. I am taking the wrong steps towards heaven, you know? And I'm seeing it so much. I'm seeing the clarity of being just in the knowing that God is I am. And I don't have to fix. I don't have to heal. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing to heal. And for a while, I'm removing the blocks to love. I'm doing mind mending. It's only me that I have to allow, like you said, it's not about even, you know, doing anything. It's just allowing God to be God through me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I really am in that state, what happens, Duff, when we're in that state?
When we're just allowing. Excuse me?
When we're in a state of allowing, what happens?
Well, life becomes effortless. There's no obstacles that really bar your way because we are the ones that put the obstacles there. I love one of the funniest lines in the course. He says, the secret of salvation is you do this to yourself. And people read that, and they say, no, please. I've had many people walk into ACM God and say, please don't insult my intelligence. I would never do this to myself.
That's what I'm saying about this guy, Mike, that used to come to my class. His mother used to send him for all kinds of therapy, and my poor boy, he's lost. And he'd sit there with this you know, make-believe dagger, and every time I would talk about his hack, he'd be stabbing himself and saying, this is what I'm doing to myself. know, he got it. And all the therapy and all the psychoanalysis and all that did nothing. One moment in this aha experience, miracle, changed perception, he got that he was just hurting himself. Mm-hmm. And that's it. We're only just hurting ourselves, no matter what we're doing, even if it's boring.
Responsibility for sight, which you find in Chapter 21, Section 2, is really where this course really begins, because until you become cause and recognize that, as he says, deceive yourself no longer, that you're helpless in face of what is done to you, acknowledge that you're mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. So everything that's right, that everything that happens, we have asked for, and we have received exactly as we have asked. One of the things I want to mention here is, you know, people always say, well, how about this upset, and how about this, you know, I got upset when this happened. And the word upset, you look at every upset is really a setup for us to learn something from. I mean, he tells you in trust, it says it takes great learning to learn that all events, all circumstances happen for your healing. So the upsets are really where it's been set up for us to learn something from, because they're pointing out where our blockages are, where our defenses are. And as he says, you know, he would never cause you pain. It was your own defenses that caused you the pain. So who's ever saying something to you that may appear to be something that you don't like, that person is really your savior, because what it is that you don't like is your own defenses that is rubbing up against you big time, and it's just being pointed out that you gave meaning to the meaningless. So the upsets are just pointing to the blockages within us.
Without a doubt, and that's what the big, you know, concept of the shadow is. It's basically everything is mirroring back to you what you don't want to see, basically. And if
exactly.
it upsets you, it's your best teacher. And if your best teacher, man, why would you throw your best teacher out of the room? The fact of the matter is, if you can get upset by anything, that means it's striking a chord.
Yes,
and that chord is not about love. It's about
self-judgment. Yeah, right.
Everybody's your savior.
If it hurts, it's something that was always there, and somebody who came along, actually, as it says in Dream Roles, nobody can betray you, or no one can do anything that you haven't already asked them to do. So I truly believe that the script is written, and the people that come into our lives are the perfect people that come into our lives. And yes, we have people that seem to be the kind ones, but then the people that seem to trigger you are actually there because that's the only way you're going to let go of the things that you're still holding on to.
And it's a gift. You know, I used to always say that, you know, Federal Express, you ordered something, it comes in a different box, and they knock on the door and you say, I don't want it. And you said, but it's, you ordered it. Yeah, but it's not in the right box.
You ordered it.
But it doesn't matter.
Like
you
that.
Ordered it.
You ordered
and
it.
And they sent it back. And it's like, then they get it again. They go, but that's not the way I want it. But what's in it, is that what you want? Yeah, well, we just changed the box. I'm sorry. And basically, that's it. You know, don't shoot the messenger, man. That messenger is going to save you. Saving you is not about, you know, Jesus coming and, you know, come follow me and you're saved, or I'm a good Christian, I'm saved. Saving is remembering that I am one with God, and that if I'm not living that, and if I'm not seeing that, that everything is there to push me back in the arms of God. If I get it, even the worst relationship, I realize that after three marriages, this guy's telling me it's not about me, it's about God. And I'm like, but you're not loving me the way you're supposed to love. It's not about me, it's about God. And I got it. It took me 9 years to realize that he was telling me, don't look at me, I'm not your right. Oh, God, go back to God. So beautiful. This world is all for me. It's all for you. Perceptually, everyone is there as you ask them to be, to teach you how close and how far you are from your true state of being. You know, and my theater background is about that. So I always use the stage. You know, I'm either going to be a player on somebody else's perceptual stage, or I'm going to be the director of mine. If I'm the director, I know that every player has its role. And if I am the director, I have a real deep understanding of what each role represents to make that play exactly what it has to be, you know? And when I really know that, how can I tell the leading man to get off the stage. I'm the director. It's opening night.
Wow.
I got to let him play his part,
yes.
You know?
Yes, yes. And like Shakespeare says, we are all actors and actresses, you know, playing our part on stage. You know, we enter stage right, we exit stage left, and everyone is really playing the perfect part. As it says, salvation is a collaborative venture. We are all in this together. There is no one in this world that is not playing the perfect role that they already consented to play in God's plan, or in love's plan. It's like love has a handle. Love will have its way with you, whether you think that love is real or not. I have a few other words which I use for God because, you know, a lot of people have different ideas of what God is. And I use God is life, you know, like eternal life, life, you know, life is God, and love is God, and truth. The Course gives a two or three word sentence to truth. Truth is union, and truth is changeless. So there's a changeless union or oneness. And then finally, recently, I came up and I shared on it just today. I actually experienced that even though the word God is a word, the experience for God is certainty that you have certainty, your clarity and your certainty that you see the perfection of it all. There is a line in the Course, as you know, what can be more certain than a son of God? And he's taking you really from a place of self-doubt. He says, you know, I know that you have, you know, doubts about yourself, you feel unworthy. So he's taking you from that place to the remembrance that you are the innocent, equal, whole, perfect child of God now. You've always been, and you can actually express it with certainty that is the truth.
You know, and for me, it's so clearly that I am, I always use a concept, a goblet, the goblet that I shape, that I am shaped in, is what I'm supposed to receive. And so I really am a receptacle or receiver or the divine principle of the female, the child, the innocence, and the all-giving brings life through me if I allow it. And that's where the life comes in. So I really resonate to that, what you just said. And when we really get that, it's just about receiving what wants to be made known through us, and that we will be given everything, like you said, for the highest good, the highest peace, the highest love. I didn't know why I even used that, but it means just a pure state for me of remembrance that God is, I am. I mean, and that's just it. It's just that I know that everyone's God now. I can't pretend that person that looks like they're suffering doesn't have God doing what it wants to do through them. And if they want to kick and scream and resist it and cause, you know, constriction in their physical, whatever it might, mirage that they're doing, their little costume, that's their right. It's their right to resist what wants to be, because it's God anyway. And, you know, it really, to me, it's a saving grace because, you know, being a mommy and having children and then having grandchildren and saying, oh, my God, my kids aren't, they're just a direct reflection of the self I am. They're my best teachers. They're showing me that there is no suffering. They are replications of my mind, direct descendants of what I believe. But then so is all of the world.
That's really beautiful, you know, to be able to just see it as a offspring of where you are.
And that's everything in our world. So really to deny anything is to be completely unconscious. And, you know, a lot of my classrooms, I mean, I've walked in a classroom as a student many times, I mean, because I'm only teaching myself anywhere, wherever I am. And I would go into the state of peace and talk about, you know, I don't go to the doctor, I don't believe that there's anything outside of me. And then what do you tell? And after a while, there was like there'd be a big fight. And, you know, one of my students would always say, you don't scare your students. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like freaking out because I know the truth. And I'm like in this craziness. And then I realized that there still had to be a part of me that had to be in some kind of self-doubt or insecurity in my own beliefs, because if I wasn't, I wouldn't see this conflict. I wouldn't have this uncomfortable, you know, rainbow over me, showing me static. You know, I always said a connection, the radio connection. If you have it on two stations, you're not going to have a clear channel. But if you just have that clear channel, it flows so beautifully. Like with my talk show, every time I do it the last 4 weeks, there's some kind of break in communication. So in me somewhere, there still has to be some kind of a insecurity, unbeknownst to me, believing I'm still a body.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, you never know what anything is for. That lesson 25, I really don't know. And I know it's easy to kind of give meaning, but I actually, you know, I used that lesson as a mantra lesson for 7 years. I literally took many years to think I knew what things were for because I was learning concepts, and then I realized, no, I really don't. And I took lesson number 25 as my mantra lesson for 7 years, starting in 2004. And you'll notice that the very first three words of that lesson is purpose is meaning. Nothing else has any meaning in this world. You can think you know what something is for, but our purpose is just to awaken from this dream of forgetfulness, and everything is just bringing us to that awakening. Actually, we do live in a state of grace, a real state of grace, as you know that lesson 169. By grace I live, by grace I am released. In a way, we really can't do anything to awaken. Grace awakens us when in our heart we are really, really wholly ready to let go of everything, that nothing here really means anything, and then I can just let go. Because these thoughts I have, as it says in lesson 10, my thoughts do not really mean anything. So even though I like to think that, well, this means this and this means that, as I let go and say, no, there's nothing in this world I really want. As I really let go of that there's anything in this world I do want, God takes the final step, and the final step really is the grace of God. And we awaken, and we just start laughing. You know, exactly as you say, we just start laughing at the things that we used to take seriously.
Now, what about that? I mean, what about your daily routine? Because you still obviously work. You still have, you know, you eat, you, whatever.
Well, I can tell you that I kind of flow through my daily routine. I really do flow. There's a lot of space. And flowing means that you just do whatever's next. I certainly don't plan things. Things just, whatever comes up is always perfect. It's like I feel guided, that Spirit is leading me. As it says, I will step back and let Him lead the way. That's 155. And then 156, I walk with God in perfect holiness. And then it says, ask 1,000 times a day, who walks with you? And then it says, ask 1,000 times a day until you are certain. There's that word, certain. Until you're certain. So you don't have to ask 1,000 times a day. You can ask once when you actually have the certainty that everything is flowing perfectly.
Well, that's beautiful. And I didn't realize you only have 10 seconds left.
That's
so
perfect.
I got the certainty of being. Let's end with that. Dave, thank you so much from my heart. I love you with all my heart. Thank you for being a part of my perceptual reality. I love you all. Thank you for being a part of the show, and we got to do this again, Doug, and hopefully there'll be a better connection next time to begin with.
Thank you so much, Ananda.
Thank you, Angel. Have a beautiful night. Bye-bye,
you
love.
You too. Love you. Love you. Love you. Thank you.
Love you.
Okay. Bye now.